And a blessed welcome to you, friends, as we have another message to present this day. This is in the month of August, the first week of August in the year of our Lord 2011. And any day now, the Lord could return. Are you ready? I sincerely hope you are. Be ready, for if you're not ready, and he should call, to come up hither, it will be too late for you. So do not procrastinate, do not put it off any longer. Come to the Lord. He's waiting for you now. Come to the Lord. I've entitled my message today, From Here to Eternity. From Here to Eternity. Because that's what it's going to be, folks. It's eternity wherever you may go, and there's only two places. You will not stay in the grave. You will either go up to be with the Lord in glory, or else you will go down to be in the bowels of the earth, in a place that is called the lake of fire, which was made for the devil and his angels. I pray you will make that decision and do so quickly. Ever tried to study? Have you ever tried to study all the upcoming sequence of events? God's prophetic calendar? Well, I've tried to assemble them here today, and with God's will, I will present them to you in a way that you can comprehend, you will understand. It's amazing what is coming, folks. It's amazing. And I pray, Lord, that you will be in that number, not that number that is cast into the pit, but that number that is taken home to glory. Do you know what they really are these days on the prophetic calendar, this upcoming sequence of events? Do you know when they will occur? Well, that's what this sermon is all about. So sit back, open your King James Bibles, take notes if you will, or listen to this tape over until you get all the notes you require, and know for sure what God has to say. Not your neighborhood pastor, not your idol worshiping priest, not the doctors of theology who love to shout their degrees in hallowed corridors, but simply what the Word of God has to say. Let God be true and every man a liar. We will cover the 11 essential points concerning the final days, from rapture to tribulation and beyond. But first we will open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I praise you. I give you thanks, Lord, for this opportunity you have given me. I pray, Lord, that you would look upon my heart and see that it is meaningful, Lord, that you would give me wisdom, Lord, that you would give me utterance, dear God. And I pray, Lord, for those who listen and hear this message, that their ears would be unstopped, that their hearts would be open and receptive to what is said here today. And may you instill on each one of them the wisdom to understand what's being said here today, Lord, and also the urgency of this moment, that they may act quickly, Lord, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ quickly, for tomorrow is promised to no one. The rapture. How we look forward to the rapture. We, the church, the saints of God. I don't know about you, but I think that's a beautiful word. Rapture. Not snatching away, although it is, but rapture. It's a beautiful word. It's not in the scriptures. Don't look for it. But it is in the scriptures, so please look for it. It's in 2 Thessalonians, but not by name, as you'll discover. Rapture, rapture, rapture. Most people are familiar with it or have heard about it. The rapture, it's the next major event in God's calendar, the snatching away of the saints of Jesus Christ, the church. Now let's turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. This will be our launching pad today. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. King James only, please. We don't want any confusion here, for God is not the author of confusion. Verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, yes. Shall we ever be with the Lord? Now, if you're following along in any other book but the King James Bible, because other books call itself the Word of God, but they are not truly. In part, yes, but not in total. Then you're reading from a counterfeit Bible. If you're reading from the NIV or the New Living Bible or the NASV or even the New King James Bible, there are so many omissions and additions there, one can't determine what God is really saying. So please, I urge you, if you haven't got a King James Bible, authorized 1611, I would urge you to pick one up soonest and start reading. Start reading, but get saved first, so the Holy Spirit will indwell and you will be able to understand and interpret the Scriptures as they should be. Now the NIV, like I said, omits a lot of the blood. It does not recognize Christ as the only begotten of the Father. And I emphasize the word begotten. It's taken out in the NIV and other Bibles as well. Not all, but most of them take it out. Jesus Christ is the only begotten. We who are saved, we are all the sons and daughters of God, but only Jesus is the begotten of the Father. And they haven't got a clue also in the NIV who killed Goliath. Well, let me tell you folks right now, it was David who killed Goliath. Okay? Now, the stories you hear, you might have heard them in school, maybe not even in a church, about David and Goliath. Well, that's true. David slew Goliath. He did. Anyone listening not familiar with the rapture, then please, I urge you to stay attentive and listen carefully. Now, if you ever saw those words, Left Behind, you know the movies they used to put out, Left Behind, Part 1, Part 2, well, they were very popular way back when. The ones which showed people rejecting Christ until they saw their mommy or their daddy disappear, but still think they're off to heaven as well, even though they rejected Christ. Let me say this. They are most miserably mistaken. Most miserably mistaken. Your second chance is now. You've heard the word now. You're hearing it now. This is your chance. Don't put it off another day, because our Lord Jesus may come as soon as I'm finished this message, even before. So make a decision for Christ and do it quickly. Now is the appointed time of salvation. Dilly-dally, and you shall miss your flight. Oh, yes. Now, if you have been called by God to believe in His only begotten Son and have failed to do so, then your heart will be hardened and you will believe what is called a strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. We'll just turn there and we'll read it. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. 2:11. And for this cause, let's back up a verse to verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There you go. You know now. You are without excuse. You know. Now is your appointed time. Not only will you not have another chance to get saved once you've rejected Christ, but you will not even have the desire. You won't even have the desire to get saved. You will believe a lie that the Antichrist will spread all over the globe. You will believe it. There'll be no second chance for you. A lot of people think, well, once they see, and I heard this from parents talking about their children. Well, I witnessed to them. I told them about Jesus. I told them about the gospel. I told them about salvation. But they're just too foolish and stubborn. But they will one day. They'll come to Christ. Well, they better do it before the rapture, because once they see you gone, they're going to turn to their strong delusion and believe a lie. That's what they'll do. They'll believe a lie, and you'll not see them in glory. Now, what lie is that? It's the lie of the Antichrist. The strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2 will be sent by God, and it will be binding. And you will go to hell. You will go to hell. So, first we have the rapture. The rapture. Next, immediately following the rapture of the saints of God off the earth, is the tribulation period. Do you know what the tribulation is? Do you know what a great tribulation is? Stay tuned. The tribulation will be a 7-year period, not 3.5, a 7-year period, when the world will experience tremendous trials and suffering. A time when the man appointed by Satan, the Antichrist, will begin ruling over a federation of 10 nations. And I would not rule out the United States as being one of them, although there are those who would disagree. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, 27, here is what we read. He, we're talking about the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, which actually is 7 years, and in the midst of that week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that, and that determined shall pour upon the desolate. Shall be poured upon the desolate. You think he cares about your welfare? No way. All he wants is you in hell with him, in the flames of hell. That's his home, his eternal abode. You don't want to be there with him. No siree. The week spoken of in Daniel makes a reference to the 7 days being 7 years. Now, in the midst of that week, being 3.5 years, the Antichrist will break his covenant with the nations. You hear? He will break his covenant. He will try to make everything look rosy. He will try to make people believe he has the answer to all the world's problems. And many will believe it. But he will break his covenant with these nations, including the peace pact that he has made with Israel. Yes, he makes a peace pact with Israel. But he will break that, at the middle, in the middle of the tribulation. Now you must understand, it's essential you understand, the Antichrist is empowered by Satan himself. Without Satan's power, the Antichrist would have no dominion, no power whatsoever. Now, during the first 3.5 years, he will seem, like I said, like a deliverer. He will solve the great problems of the world, especially those relating to banking and commerce. He will portray himself as God and prove himself through many miracles, including that, now get this, the miracle of healing himself of a deadly wound. This is Satan's last hurrah, folks. He has always wanted to imitate God, and he will succeed by sitting on the throne in the temple, proclaiming to be the Most High. Can you imagine that? The devil sitting on the throne in the temple of God, professing to be God himself. This will be known as the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. Not only will he proclaim to be God, but also he will bring about a great and terrible time. This is the second half of the tribulation, known as Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble, that's what it's called. There are many other aspects we could elaborate on if time permitted, all about the tribulation. However, so what we have, the first sequence of events is the rapture of the church. The second event is the tribulation period. Now we come to the next event in God's prophetic timetable, the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's go there, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Romans, oh, I have a paperclip here, just a sec, I'll get out of it. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Second Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear, get this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ, as denoted in 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's also noted in Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, how many thought there was only one judgment? How many thought there was only two judgments? Actually, there are three main judgments. The judgment seat of Christ is specifically for us who are believers, the saints of God, the church. We are the ones who will be brought before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, or otherwise known as the Bema seat of Christ. It's specifically for us. We will stand before our Lord Jesus in our new bodies to receive crowns and rewards. Now, remember this, our sins are already covered by the blood of Christ and have no more effect upon us. The crowns we receive will be cast at our Savior's feet. Some will have many rewards, while others will have few, or maybe too few to mention. Now I'm going to give you a list of these crowns that are noted in Scripture that you may or may not receive. There's five of them. One is the victor's crown. It's an incorruptible crown, noted in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Then, number two, there's the soul winner's crown. Oh, are you out there winning plenty of souls over to the Lord? Because if you are, you will get a soul winner's crown, a crown of rejoicing, as noted in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20. Then, number three, there's the crown of righteousness. Number four, the crown of glory, the crown for service. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 to 4. And number five, the crown of life, the martyr's crown. Revelation 2, 10. The crown of glory, the martyr's crown. Oh my. How is it with you? Do you want to have many rewards to cast at our dear Savior's feet? Or will you stand there in front of Him, shamefaced before Jesus, knowing that you've been saved only by the skin of your teeth? Oh, how great it will be to have at least one, or maybe all five, to cast at our blessed Savior's feet. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. The judgment seat of Christ has absolutely nothing to do with our sin issue. That's the great white throne judgment, which the lost, you will get more on that later. Okay, now, let's move along. First, we had the rapture of the saints. Then the seven-year tribulation, followed by the judgment seat of Christ. Next on God's prophetic calendar is the battle of Armageddon. Now, most of you, if not all of you, if you're old enough, have heard of the battle of Armageddon. There's been songs about it. There's been many, many stories written about the great battle of Armageddon. This great battle will occur at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth, not in the clouds like He did at the rapture, but this time every eye shall see Him as He stands upon the Mount of Olives and splits it wide open. Zechariah 14:4. With Him will be all the armies of heaven, and that includes us, the church. We will come back with them on that day of reckoning. Oh, a side note I have here. At this time will take place the marriage supper of the Lamb. Or pardon me, the marriage of the Lamb, according to Revelation 19. The marriage of the Lamb. Are you going to be at that marriage? I pray you are. Oh my. Now, excuse me, but even though He'll not need us, as you can understand, an all-powerful God, why would He need us to tag along at the greatest battle there could ever be, when all He has to do is just say the word and everybody upon the earth will be destroyed? Although He will not need us, we will be with Him. For it is with the sword of His mouth, the same mouth that talked creation into existence, that He will destroy the nation's combined armies of more, now get this, more than 200 million. That's how big the armies of the nations will be. More than 200 million. And He will destroy them all. The blood from this battle of Armageddon will cover 185 miles or 1,600 furlongs along the Kidron Valley and rise as high as a horse's bridle. My, oh my, what a battle, what a day of reckoning that will be. It will not be a pretty sight, as you can imagine. But neither was it a pretty sight to see our blessed Savior die an excruciating death on that cruel cross at Calvary. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, He will. What a price that must be paid for sin. What cost sin? Oh, my. So we've had the rapture, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, the battle of Armageddon. Next, the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations. When? After the battle of Armageddon. When the smoke clears and the last drop of blood has been shed and the soil of Israel has been quenched with the blood of the nations. Then, and only then, will the Lord Jesus set up His earthly kingdom reign. It is a time when the people who have survived the great tribulation will be individually judged as to whether or not they may enter into Christ's kingdom. Individually judged. We will not be judged as a mass of people. We will be judged individually. So don't think you can sneak in and hide behind your buddy. You will be judged one-on-one before the Lord Jesus. Now note the term individually judged, for this is how it has always been and always will be. In God's eyes, we are individuals and must answer to the King for what we have done, not or what we have not done. In Matthew 25, let's go to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Worthwhile reading. Please pay attention. You can listen to the tape and you can copy it down, or go to Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31, and read it for yourself. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Verse 33. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Now the sheep are those who get saved during the tribulation period. Yes, there will be many. Most of them will be Israelites, as God renews His covenant with Israel. Then shall the King, verse 34, then shall the King say to them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then, verse 37, Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Verse 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And finally, verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh, what a happy yet sad commentary we have here. We who belong to Him, and those who will follow after us that are saved throughout the tribulation, will all go with Him to be forever in glory. All but those who are not, how they will suffer as they enter into an eternal hell. Actually, in the end, the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Now, on the other hand, the saved, those who did receive Christ, not those from the other side of the rapture who hardened their heart and came under the strong delusion, as we talked about earlier, but those who got saved during the tribulation, like I say, they will enter the promised millennial kingdom. So far we have had the rapture, the strong delusion, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, the judgment of the nations. The next event in God's prophetic timetable is the resurrection of the tribulation saints. Oh my! Here we have those who receive Christ during the tribulation. They will be raised from the dead by the close of the tribulation. Many will have suffered martyrdom. They will be part of the first resurrection as outlined in Daniel 12, 1 and 2, and Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. The next event following the resurrection of the tribulation saints will be the disposition of evil. During the same time, the beast and the false prophet who worked hand in hand with the Antichrist are cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:26. And Satan is bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. After the disposition of evil, we have the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And what a reign it is. Amen. It's a time when all believers from the past, all believers from the present, will reign with Jesus Christ upon the earth. Will reign with Jesus Christ upon the earth. Prophecies from Isaiah 11 and Revelation 20 will be realized as Old and New Testament saints join hands in the service of the King as He sits upon His throne in Jerusalem. Remember that same throne that went through the desolation of abominations by the Antichrist. Finally, our blessed Savior will take His rightful place on that throne in the temple. The world will finally be at peace at this time as we enter into the 1,000-year millennial reign. All sin will have been vanquished from off the earth. During the 1,000-year reign, you must remember, there will be children born to these people who are in the reign. There will be children born to them, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and so on. And evil will begin to encompass the earth again. Even though they will see us who are upon the earth reigning with our Savior, that we are indestructible, that we are not human flesh, but yet they will still sin. There will be sin. The Word of God does not supply much information on this in the Scriptures about the 1,000-year millennial reign, so I can only tell you what I've learned from and what I've been taught. All who enter will be saved at that point. Do you understand that? And even with Christ on the throne, the saved will have offspring who will need to be saved just like we need to be saved today, if you're not already saved. Initially, all will be peaceful and filled with joy. You've heard the lion will lie down with the lamb? Oh, yes. What joy we will have. With the devil chained and out of service, he can have none effect on us at all. However, the ancestors of the saints will still have that inerrant evil. Okay, the next item on God's prophetic calendar is the final rebellion. The final rebellion. At the end of Christ's 1,000-year millennial reign upon the earth, that old devil man Satan, now get this, he will be loosed, the Bible says, for a little season, according to the Scriptures. Now remember, Satan was bound by God for the entire 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, what I see here is God's perfect grace, His perfect plan to rid the entire kingdom of sinful corruption. Although many of those born during the rain will have the same opportunity we had to get saved, yet many will refuse and their hearts will be hardened. This is so difficult to accept, especially when they are born into a perfect world with a perfect ruler and a perfect peace, like Eden all over again before sin entered in. It's a time, like I said, when the lion will lay down with the lamb, and children can play with serpents even. But that old stain of original sin, which emanated from the Garden of Eden, will still have its day, still run its course. Even then, after Christ rules and walks amongst us in a perfect world, sin will rear its ugly head, and the plan of salvation will still be by grace through faith in the perfect, unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God. Oh, yes. As for that old devil, well, he will have one final opportunity to hoodwink and deceive the multitudes, and his prey will be the newborns of the Christ rejectors. Even though their mums and dads, grandparents and such will be saved, not all of their offspring will have a turning unto the Lord. In fact, during the 1,000 years of Christ reigning upon the earth, even millions of those born once will not be born again. Their destiny will be to join Satan for one last fling. One futile attempt before they are destroyed as God brings fire down from heaven to devour the millions of lost souls, according to Revelation 20. Now, if you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone upon the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were all destroyed except for Lot, his wife, and his family. Remember that? Oh, yes. No, there are no sinners in heaven, folks. No sin can enter into the presence of God. They cannot get in. But there will be plenty of them on earth during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Even though he will be there, reigning from his throne, people will still sin. They will be corrupt, because it's in their attitude, it's in their conscience to do this. They will all be ancestors of the saints. That's hard to believe, but it's true. They will all be ancestors of the saints, because that's all who entered in to the millennial reign, the saints of Jesus Christ. Now we're almost home free, almost. Following the final rebellion, there is one more judgment, one more, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 12 to 15. Now this is one judgment that you don't want to be in. You just don't want to be there. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh my. This is the time when sinners and skeptics alike will stand before our living and holy God, not to receive crowns or rewards, but to be condemned forever to the lake of fire. Both the living and the dead, the unsaved, are judged here. Up to this point, those who were not saved, that had already tasted death, were already living in hell, awaiting the judgment to determine the severity of their punishment. But now, they too will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity. This is what is known as the second death, where the worm dieth not. Now, many of you may not be familiar with the term, the worm dieth not. The worm is the mind, the conscience. While you are suffering in the lake of fire, you will know why you are there. You will always know why you are there. It will never, never die, your conscience. You will be in eternal agony for all eternity. And now, with all sin finally eradicated from the earth, the purification process begins. God sets the earth afire with a fervent heat. The skeptics will then know, what true global warming is all about. 2 Peter 3, verses 7 and 10. Finally, the new heaven and the new earth. Oh, yes, the ultimate picture of God's glory and grace. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, according to Revelation 21. But remember, and this is what you have to keep in your mind at this point in time. I cannot stress it enough. According to Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What's it going to be like for you? Are you ready to come to Jesus now? Oh, I pray you will make that decision now. I pray you will come to Him. You will get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You went to the cross. You suffered and bled and died for my sins. And then You went to the grave, but on the third day You rose again, that we who believe in Thee will rise again too on that appointed time. I believe with all my heart. Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. I hope you're one of them. I hope to see you in glory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for giving me this message, this sermon, Lord, to present. Oh, Lord, I pray that many precious souls will have a turning unto Thee, even at this late hour, Lord. For it is never too late when there is still time, Lord. But that time element is shrinking quickly. Oh, Lord God, draw them to Thy Son, that they may know for sure beyond any doubt that salvation awaits them at the cross of Jesus Christ. For it's in His wonderful name that I pray. Amen. Amen.